Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
In May 2012, two female Army reservists fought a federal suit against the Pentagon saying their military careers have been hampered by the ban on women in combat and are asking the court to rule it unconstitutional for violating their equal protection rights under the Fifth Amendment. In November last year, the American Civil Liberties Union also filed a federal lawsuit in San Francisco on behalf of four female military service members to challenge the Pentagon's ban on women serving in direct frontline combat units. Now, shortly after this November 2012 lawsuit was filed, Robert Knight of the American Civil Rights Union wrote in the Washington Times, quote, "In the ACLU's parallel universe, women are just as aggressive, strong, fast, and warlike as men. You know, like in the National Football League, where female linebackers strike terror in the hearts of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers," unquote. On January 24th this year, lame duck Defense Secretary Leon Panetta announced the administration's intent to eliminate military women's exemptions from direct combat battalions. Targeted for unprecedented change would be Army and Marine infantry, armor, artillery, special operations forces, and Navy SEALs. My guest today is Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness. Thanks, Elaine, for being with us.
Hi, Diane. Nice to talk to you today.
You guys are keeping up to date on just what's taking place, how these changes are happening. Give us a little bit of background as how this all happened. I know Panetta said that it was for personal reasons, that his personal contacts with female service members that made him change his views on women in combat.
Well, the administration, the Obama administration, is determined to use our military for all different kinds of social engineering. The number one goal right now is to have women in land combat. This is a feminist goal. It's always been there. It's to prove a theory that men and women are interchangeable in all roles, even though more than 30 years of studies and reports and actual empirical evidence shows that men and women are different, and you can't treat them exactly the same, and you can't pretend that they can be in an infantry battalion. These are tip-of-the-spear units, the ones that attack the enemy. You can't just pretend that, well, women can do the same thing as men, and there's no problem with this. Again, there's a lot of evidence to the contrary. But the administration is, well, let's put it this way. Everybody in the armed forces must obey orders, and that includes the various heads of the military services, the Commandant of the Marine Corps included. And so the Marines have been doing some research to find out, is this going to work? They've been doing this for 2 years now, although they have not released the results of their research. But we know that there were, in pairs, 10 women who tried out on the infantry officer course at Quantico, Virginia. Not one of them lasted beyond the first day, except for one, I should say. She lasted about a week, but due to an injury, was not able to continue. Now in the training for enlisted personnel for the infantry, I think three women, possibly four, have made it through the course, but that course is nowhere near as demanding as the infantry officer course. Now, quite often when this issue comes up, people say, well, if they're as qualified as the men, why not? Let's keep the standards the same and then it'll be fine. The problem is you cannot keep the standards the same for men and women. If you do, women experience injuries at a much higher, unacceptable rate. In fact, the Marines already know this. They were going to change their physical fitness test. They were going to have women doing pull-up exercises instead of just hanging from a rod. They have to actually pull themselves up. They were supposed to have to do three by January of next year, January 2014, and they decided because of unacceptable risks, they're going to postpone that. Now, why did they do that? Because they kept saying, oh, we're going to treat women exactly the same. Well, every time reality intrudes, they don't do that. But I found out that what is happening here, it's almost like a sleight of hand. We have physical fitness tests and combat fitness tests that enlisted personnel have to perform in infantry training. It turns out that these tests are gender normed. That means they're scored differently for men and women. So if a woman has to meet the minimum standard for a man, what is not being said is that the men have to do much more in order to get a high grade. For example, on the pull-up test I just mentioned, women have to do a minimum of 3, at least when it goes into effect, they'll have to. And if she does 8, a woman gets 100% or 100-point score, perfect score.
Mm-hmm.
But a man has to do 20 of those.
The woman only has to do 8,
that's
and the
right,
guy has to do 20, more than twice as many to get
100%. That's right.
That's not fair.
That's not equal. And
yeah.
Yet the phrase is used, gender neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gender neutral is a phrase that it seems to have different meanings to different people.
Oh.
Some people say, well, but it's just as hard for a woman to do 8 pull-ups as it is for a man to do 20. Yeah, but on the battlefield, there is no gender norming.
Exactly.
You don't get allowances like that. Another example, we know, actually most people probably don't know, but Politico reported that the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, had an experience in Vietnam that is instructive for what we're looking at right now. He and his brother, Tom, were in the infantry. He was a sergeant, Chuck Hagel was,
mm-hmm.
and they were in the same unit, which was not really according to the rules, but there
right.
they were, and they took turns saving each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Tom Hagel was in a burning vehicle, armed personnel
mm-hmm.
carrier, and his brother, Chuck Hagel, had to save him. Literally go into that vehicle, pull his
mm-hmm.
brother out, his face was burned and everything
mm-hmm.
in the process of saving his brother.
Yeah.
And obviously it took a lot of physical strength to do that.
Right.
And yet, here we have Chuck Hagel saying, oh, let's have women being in these combat positions where the likelihood of having to do something like that is much higher. I think he's forgetting
mm-hmm.
that physical strength is part of the reason that his brother is alive
right,
today,
exactly.
his own physical strength. And he's just an average guy at that time. He was just
right, exactly.
Look at a picture of the two, and they were just two skinny guys in Vietnam.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, because of the physical structure of the man, these are all male units, of
mm-hmm.
course, that they were, his brother is alive today. So in the future, in burning vehicles, and we know this kind of thing happens
oh, yeah.
more often in infantry battalions, the ones that attack the enemy,
mm-hmm.
if the soldier needs rescue and the only soldier nearby is a female.
Is a female. Yeah.
Number one, the soldier in the vehicle probably will die, and
mm-hmm.
the woman, because she's courageous, we
try to,
that she
right,
will be.
Right.
We know that women are courageous. She will probably die as well.
Mm-hmm. And that concerns me. The example you just gave me with Chuck Hagel, I mean, he knows, of course, obviously he has a very short memory, or he's been just going along with the political changes because of his position right now. But he should remember, as you're saying, firsthand what happened with him and his brother. But yet these people who have been in combat, who know the requirements of being in combat and living through it, too many of them are going along with this and not questioning the intelligence or the wisdom of making these changes.
That's right. And it's a serious problem because, first of all, well, this is harmful to both women
exactly.
and men. Women don't want this. There is not a single survey showing that women in the military want this. Certainly enlisted women don't.
Yeah.
There are a few ambitious female officers who do,
mm-hmm.
and they say, well, we want to see a female chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. If that's the case, then General Martin Dempsey, he should give up his stars, say to
yeah.
the president, here's a qualified female
mm-hmm.
officer, appoint her in my place, get this over with.
Yeah.
That way we don't have to subject enlisted women to the experience of being treated like men.
But yet Leon Panetta, the former Secretary of Defense, said it's because of his personal experiences, because of his contacts with or his interactions with service members in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right.
As well as over here in the States.
Not a very good reason. He's forgetting what the definition of combat is.
I think so.
And this is what Congress needs to do. Congress needs to define what combat is, and it's not that hard. Being in danger or subjected to incident-related or contingent combat, we've seen that since 9/11, more than 140 women have been killed, an unprecedented number in the wars since 9/11. Okay?
Even though they're not officially in direct combat forces, yet they're still in harm's way.
They are serving in harm's way.
Well, I know. Sure.
Combat.
Yeah,
yes.
Shortly after. Go
the
ahead.
Mission of infantry troops has not changed. Infantry, special operations forces, artillery, armor. These are the troops that go out and attack the enemy. They seek out and destroy and attack the enemy. Very different mission. It's a small number. Okay, this is the tip of the spear, the point of the bayonet. Those units are all male for a good reason. What they do does involve physical strength, very little privacy. Unit cohesion is terribly important.
Oh, yeah.
You start introducing all the complications of sexuality, then you hurt everybody. And speaking of sexuality, the Pentagon recently, actually in this past year, a study was done, commissioned by the Pentagon, and they really played this down. It was done back in June or August, July, sometime this summer, and it only recently came to light. It said that women who had been subjected to combat situations, that is, seeing attacks, seeing dead bodies, coming under fire, that kind of thing, the women in those units experienced sexual assaults at rates double those of women doing other things in the armed forces. So if we're concerned about sexual assaults against women, certainly we should not be putting them into units where that is more likely to happen. And it's somewhat inconsistent to say that violence against women is wrong. We're going to stamp it out. But violence against women at the hands of the enemy, well, that's okay.
That's okay because they quote-unquote, ask for it because
right.
they're in the military.
It's a matter of cultural dissonance, inconsistency. It really makes no sense. And the Presidential Commission, on which I served in 1992, we came to this conclusion that equal opportunity is important for women in the military, and we're proud of them. We support them. But if there is a conflict between career considerations and the needs of the military, the needs of the military must come first. And that was a simple statement. It was very controversial because some members of the commission said, no, equal opportunity is more important. We should have women in land combat. They were in the minority, but their voices were heard, and they were voted down.
Wow. Now, wasn't there, when Chuck Hagel, if I'm remembering correctly, he also served as Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton. Was that not Chuck Hagel? But Leon Panetta. He was in, he signed something, I'm thinking, under the Clinton administration that said that there would be no women in direct combat forces.
No, I think you're thinking of Les Aspin.
Okay, that may have been.
Secretary of Defense. In 1994, he did promulgate rules that said that direct ground combat units, the ones that attack the enemy, should remain all male.
Okay.
And then there were additional caveats, co-located units that were embedded with the infantry 100% of the time also were retained as all male, and there were other a few other conditions.
Okay.
But the administration, Leon Panetta announced on his way out the door in 2012, he announced that they were going to repeal those regulations.
Okay.
There never was a law regarding land combat. And this is something that a lot of people don't realize. There never was a law. There were regulations. And part of the reason was that Congress trusted that the Army and the Marines would never, ever
put
women into frontline combat. Now the plan is to do this incrementally. So a lot of positions, co-located ones especially, that used to be all male, now women are serving in them on a temporary or contingency basis.
Even now.
Okay. And the plan is to eliminate all the exemptions by January 2014. Now, Congress hasn't done anything to
next
stop
month.
This.
You're talking about next month.
No, I'm sorry, 2016.
Okay. But still, I mean, it's fast. I know Inhofe, Senator Inhofe said at the time that Panetta made his announcement last January, he said, quote, "I want everyone to know that the Senate Armed Services Committee, of which I am the ranking member, will have a period to provide oversight and review. During that time, if necessary, we will be able to introduce legislation to stop any changes we believe to be detrimental to our fighting forces and their capabilities." And he says, goes on and says, "I suspect there will be cases where legislation becomes necessary." But you're saying nothing's been done?
Well, I did speak with Senator Inhofe and many members on the House side as well, and we do have a proposal. It's called Sound Policy for Women in the Military.
Okay.
It also happens to be Sound Policy for Men in the Military.
Right.
And it's really quite simple. Congress needs to codify the concept, the regulation, that units that attack the enemy below the brigade level, that means the fighting teams, battalion level, that these should remain all male. This was the policy of the Pentagon up until January of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, that policy may not change unless Congress affirmatively votes to put women in the infantry. That way, Congress, number one, retains control of the issue and responsibility for the issue, because if they don't do something, someone is going to go to court. In fact, they already did go into court to say, well, why are women exempt from registration for selective service if they are in the direct ground combat units? Mm-hmm. There is no basis on which you can justify exemption of women from selective service. Now, a lawsuit was brought in the last 10 months or so. The judge said, well, let's wait and see till this all plays out. Mm. If by January 2016 there are no more exemptions, then that lawsuit likely will prevail at the lower court level, and that'll be appealed up to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
And the Supreme Court has a precedent saying, well, Congress decides.
Yeah.
If they want to exempt women, then we, the courts, will not interfere.
Mm-hmm.
But if Congress does nothing,
right, just, yeah.
you see, then the de facto policy becomes, yes, women mm-hmm. are eligible for the infantry, and oh, by the way, this is not a voluntary situation. Once you join the military, you are assigned wherever you're ordered
exactly.
to go. This was confirmed at a hearing back in June. But civilian women would be affected if the mandate to register with selective service is made gender neutral, and they have to register on the same basis as men for a possible future draft should
mm-hmm.
it come to that.
Wow. And part of what was said last January is that if a service determines that a specialty should not be open to women, Pentagon officials said that representatives of the service would have to make the case to the Defense Secretary by January 2016. So this is saying, why I'm reading this, is that if the Navy SEALs believe that women would not be a positive asset to the Navy SEALs, to the units, then they would have to come up with a good reason as to why they should be exempt from including women.
Right. Well, the good reasons exist already.
Oh, yeah.
But this is a political decision, you see. The president will choose a new Secretary of the Navy and a new Chief of Staff, a Chief CNO of the Navy. When those new admirals, generals, and secretaries of the various services are chosen,
mm-hmm.
they will reflect what the president
okay.
wants to do.
He'll pick the ones who will agree with him.
Pardon?
He will pick the ones who agree with him.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the next CNO, the next Commandant of the Marine Corps, the next Chief of Staff of the Army, the next secretaries of the various services, they're all going to be selected by the president. In
mm-hmm.
fact, they already have been selected, the ones in office right now, to go along with what the president wants.
I'm assuming that they have to go through the same confirmation process as like a judicial nominee through Senate confirmation.
True, but
I know with nuclear option, I mean, they just threw the nuclear option out there. So, I mean, the president basically has a go ahead to do whatever he wants.
Here's the problem. The many, and I do mean many members of Congress to whom we spoke personally, and many even additional staff, they all like the concept of what we talked about, sound policy
mm-hmm.
for women in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that they said to explain why they did not bring it up at all, there is nothing in the defense bill to address this, because they are afraid of being accused of being anti-women.
Anti-woman.
That's a
women.
Lame
yeah.
argument,
yeah.
unacceptable. Especially since the House has not had a hearing on this issue in 34 years. They have not had a hearing on the Senate side in 22 years. So obviously something has to change.
That's
there needs to be new leadership starting with the White House. But my concern is that in the meantime, if all of these exemptions are swept away, then it's going to be very hard to reinstate them. And I hasten to add, women in the military are not to blame for any of this. This is the policy-making process that is certainly not doing what it should do.
Yeah.
So when we talk about congressional oversight, which is mandated in the U.S. Constitution,
yes.
Congress has been derelict. They have not been doing their duty in this
yeah.
regard. And all of these very sweeping changes are going ahead without any congressional hearings, without any notice at all. And that's really, that in itself is an affront to our women in the military who deserve better than this.
So you're saying there's not been a House hearing for 34 years.
Right.
And none over on the Senate side for 26 years on this issue?
22.
22 years.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, so they're going to do these sweeping changes with no congressional hearings at all?
No. All they do is have hearings
rubber
on
stamp.
Sexual assaults. Ignoring
yeah.
the fact that if you extend that
mm-hmm.
issue of sexual assault into the combat arms, you're
yeah.
going to make it worse,
yeah.
not better.
Yeah.
There is no empirical evidence to the contrary. So, yeah, they're just sort of whistling by the social engineering graveyard and pretending they're not seeing or, you know, not anticipating
the problems
that will occur.
Yeah, to me, they're walking around in the halls of Congress with blinders on. They cannot connect the dots.
Well, they're skittish because of
well, because,
political threat.
Right, of being accused of conducting a war on women.
But it's not about women alone. It's about women and men and the effectiveness of our military.
And our national
security.
Getting
back to this notion that you can have physical fitness and combat fitness tests that are scored differently for men and women. The Marines actually admitted this in a statement to Congress back in June.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in a footnote, actually a couple of footnotes. And they're saying, yes, we're going to have gender norm standards, but they'll be scored differently to allow for physical differences. Now, I have a problem with this. This is the kind of a statement that you expect better than that from the Marine Corps. But there it was in the footnotes, and we have highlighted it in an article that is the first one on our website, 3ws.cmrlink.org. If you consider physical fitness, combat fitness tests being incorporated in infantry training, this is sort of like saying, let's suppose the NFL decided to train some physically fit women, say the cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
They know football, they're physically strong, let's put them through
the
same
game.
Exercise.
So yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's put them through the exercise program along with the men. But let's adjust those training machines so that the women can excel and be scored as high as the men, even though they're not doing anything at all near what the men are doing.
Right.
Okay? Then we're going to suit them up and send them out to the front line of the gridiron. How long do you think those cheerleaders would last on the gridiron?
They'll be flattened.
Well, that's right. So if we know they would be flattened on the gridiron, why are we sending them to lethal combat?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see the illogic here. But this is what we're seeing now in the military. And when the military is given an order, they say, all right, we'll carry out the order. We'll make it work. How do you make it work? Well, you use wiggle words and phrases like gender neutral, even though you know that gender neutral means gender normed, scored differently for men and women. There's a lot of dishonesty going on here on the part of Pentagon officials, and it starts with the administration,
mm-hmm.
but Congress is also to blame.
Right, because
they have
there.
Not held them accountable, they have not asked the right questions, and when they get the kinds of answers similar to what I get every time I put a question to them, they just say one thing and do another, and
mm-hmm.
they say, see, we've answered all the questions.
We've answered everything, so we're free to go home. So we're seeing a lot of doublespeak. I mean, thinking of the book, 1984, doublespeak.
Right.
And we saw that same thing going on with the issue with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
It's
LGBT law.
Yeah.
Congress voted
right.
for LGBT law.
Yes.
And nobody called it what it was.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But the same type scenario. You know, they do these studies, but then they don't make public the results of those studies, or they do these surveys. I read where there was a survey actually done last February by the Marine Corps, and they found that 17% of male Marines would likely leave the service if women were moved into combat roles.
It wasn't that high a percentage, but it was a high percentage.
Wow.
And, yes, that was an indication that there would be a problem. The survey that was done on the issue of gays in the military was leaked to the media with a false number.
Mm-hmm.
And the number was that 70% of people in the military were okay with that, okay with repeal. But a Department of Defense Inspector General investigation found out that that was a false story. It was leaked to the media, the Washington Post,
mm-hmm.
shortly after a meeting at the White House. One of the people involved in this has now been nominated to be the head of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
It was his panel. He was the head of the panel, co-chair, that studied the issue of gays in the military
mm-hmm.
for a full year.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the report was written before it even began. In fact, he, Jay Johnson, was writing the executive summary of the survey before the survey even went out.
Yeah, that's
to the
ridiculous.
Truth. So, yes, this administration knows how to spin these issues.
Yes, definitely.
But sometimes reality intrudes anyway, and it usually intrudes on the battlefield.
Yeah. And we're talking about national security. We're talking about the lives of men and women being put on the line and possibly lost because of this ridiculous assumption that women can conduct themselves as, I mean, they would conduct themselves courageously, there's no question about that, but there is a difference between men and women, and even the military is even acknowledging that, but it's different being on the training field and being able to lessen the standards for women, but those standards will not be lessened on the field of battle. What can the average citizen do to help?
Well, first thing, go to our webpage, 3ws.cmrlink.org, and look at the top article there. It's about double standards and double speak.
Yeah, double think about double standards. Mm-hmm.
There is an extensive analysis, CMR policy analysis of this issue. And it's as brief as I could make it. It is 8 pages, but if you can click on all the links, you can see all the documents. Elsewhere on the web page, you see a lot of op-eds that are posted.
Yeah.
And people just need to say to their member of Congress, what are you doing about this?
Yeah.
I'm talking about sexual assault as an answer. Mm-hmm. Sexual assault and the issue of women in combat are related only in the way that if you have women in land combat, you're going to make the problem worse. Yes, they need to start asking questions. And members who are part of the Armed Services Committees in particular, they should hear from their own constituents.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, in your report, your policy analysis, double think about double standards, you give examples of some of the ones that you mentioned in the interview about the discrepancies between what women are expected to do to get 100% and what men are expected to do to get their 100%. So I encourage our listeners to go to cmrlink.org and click on, check the whole website out, but the top article, Double Think About Double Standards, goes into great detail about this. And Elaine, I appreciate your continued vigilance in this issue about the military, because we're not just talking about, we're talking about our national security. We're talking about destroying our military, period. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
People defend the country. It isn't just the weapon systems. And we know that social issues are certainly very serious distraction right now.
Yeah.
Sexual assault is wrong in any context, but the military seems incapable of changing the trend lines. The trend lines keep going up and up and up with no end in sight, and they keep coming up with Band-Aid type solutions
yeah.
that are probably not going to make much difference.
Probably not.
In the meantime, this plan to extend all of those issues into the combat arms really makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Well, thanks for being with us, and I again encourage our listeners to go to cmrlink.org, and you take care and have a Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take
you
care.
Too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.